right, let's get our Bibles open now. As you pray for us now. Now, I've got to go to Kentucky this week, so we're going to have a lot going on tomorrow and Tuesday to keep the work going over at the church. And I'll be preaching up there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and maybe Saturday night. So if I do, I'll be driving home Saturday night. It depends on how it goes. So I hope that you'll be praying about that for us and asking the Lord to help me. And then I want you to be here Wednesday night now. Brother Corey Bowers back there, raise your hand, Brother Corey. He's going to be preaching Wednesday night. So you want to hear a California man preach? He'll be here ready to go Wednesday night. On fire, ready to go. Amen. So don't miss Wednesday night. And it's a carnal, immature Christian that says, well, Brother Danny ain't going to be there. I ain't going. That's not good. That's not good at all. I hope that you'll be here and come praying, because the church needs you, and you need the church. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19 tonight. I want to read some scripture here and bring you a message. Luke chapter number 19. And then we're going to have a little talk here tonight with the bus workers and the men. We'll have a meeting with our men tonight. We're going to have to get on the ball here, fellas, and get some work done. So we're going to have a meeting with our men tonight right after we get through talking to our bus workers. Luke chapter 24. So I'm starting preaching early tonight. I'm sorry, 19. We're starting preaching early tonight. Luke chapter number 19. And look at verse number 12. Luke chapter 19, verse number 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. He just about told them to do whatever they want to do with that. You take care of this till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, I want to take that verse 13 tonight where he told them, he said, I want you to you take these 10 pounds and you occupy till I come. You might want to trade it. You might want to buy something with it and make a profit. cash it in. You might want to buy some of the interest, but you do whatever you see best with it. And so I want to use that as a thought tonight. The Lord does that sometimes about us as a church. God gives us this building, and God gives us a place to worship, and He says, occupy till I come. And we can do with this whatever we want to do with it. We can make this a great church. We can make this a sorry church. We can make this... God don't love one people more than He loves another people. The Lord wants a lot done and a lot to happen. But He leaves it up to us to do with a lot of things what we want. That's scary. So tonight, I want to put the message in the form of a question tonight. And the question is, what kind of church do you want? What kind of church do you want? Do I want? We can have whatever kind we want to have. You know why big dead churches are big and dead? Because that's what they want. That's right. They might say we want a lot of fire in here, but they don't. If you want some fire, you have some fire. Amen. You know why little dead churches are little and dead? Because really that's what they want. You can have whatever kind of church you want. You want a great church? You want it bad enough? You can have one. If you want a wonderful church, you want it bad enough? If we want to have a soul-winning, Bible-believing church, we can have a soul-winning, Bible-believing church. If we want to have a bunch of dead religion, that's exactly what we'll have, a bunch of dead religion. And so tonight we're going to have a little theme for a thought here. And the theme thought is this. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? All right? We're going to say that together. Here we go. Ready? On the count of three, say it with me. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? All right? Let's try that again. Somebody's having a little trouble catching on there. Well, let's try it now. Here we go. Ready? You say, well, I don't want to say that, man. If they're all like me, we've had it. No, that's what I'm trying to get you to do tonight. If every member were like some, wouldn't be nobody here tonight. That's right. That's right. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? That's a scary thought. I got to think about that this evening. I thought, what if everybody's just like me? Well, I know they'd be here all the time because I do that. And I know they'd pay their tithes because I do that. And I know they'd read their Bible every day, but boy, there's other things, Lord. I hope they ain't like me. But what if it's all like you tonight? I hope, what if it's all like you? Every member in the church was just like you. You know, if every member in the church was just like some of y'all, we would start at 6:20 instead of 6 o'clock. Or 5 after, like we normally do. That's not right. If every member in the church were just like some of you, our offering would be about $45 a week. And after 1 week, we'd be out of this building having to meet in a softball field somewhere. If every member were just like some people, we would have all read about 2 chapters this week total in our Bible. They read 2 verses. It'd be pitiful. And you know what our problem is? Our problem is we depend on the rest of the church to carry us on in and stay spiritual and stay right with God and stay prayed up and fired up. We love a good shouting, wonderful church where people getting saved, but we don't want to pay no price for it. We want everybody else to pay the price. Let's just come in and soak up the blessings. That's about it. And so tonight, what kind of church do you want? I'm going to say a few things about it. First of all, in just preparing your heart in prayer and study. I believe tonight that every person ought to prepare yourself for Sunday morning and Sunday night. As a matter of fact, if everybody prepared for church like you had to preach, when we got here, nobody wouldn't get to preach. I mean, it'd be so full of the glory of God in here. What if you had to preach next Sunday? Boy, you'd be on your knees every night. You'd be reading your Bible. Saturday night, you wouldn't go nowhere. You wouldn't go to the mall. You'd stay home. You'd say, I got to preach in the morning. Oh, Lord, what a burden on me. Man, when we met Sunday morning, it'd be dangerous in here. If everybody prepared their heart like you had to preach. You know what? We don't just pair on this, Brother Mike. Average person has no preparation in their heart whatsoever before church on Sunday morning. I mean, here's the average home on Saturday night. We're in there, you know, and the kids is running through the house, and mama's trying to get baths and stuff, and daddy's watching TV, and they got in a fuss, you know, and they're fussing and arguing. The devil will make sure you get in that worst fuss on Saturday night, just so you'll be in the wrong spirit and won't be able to enjoy church on Sunday morning. Sunday morning comes around, you know. I know. I've had little kids. Lord, when Chris and Corey was little, I mean, every Sunday something would happen. They would cry. One of them be in a crying mood. I'd come through the house, you know, spilt jelly on their dress, you know. You ain't supposed to give them jelly after they done got their dress on, but you know, you try to get them to eat one more bite. There goes the jelly. Right down. I just rub it in there. It looked like flowers on the dress. Where nobody would never know the difference. I'd spill chocolate milk down the front of there. I mean, there's been time, boy, I'd be on the telephone with a Sunday school teacher saying she couldn't be there, you know, because her kid was sick and he's 14 in the family, and one of mine came running through the house with chocolate milk spilled down her dress, you know, and I'd be trying to think, now this is for Sunday school and this is for preaching. Oh Lord, help me. We go down the road, I'm slinging diapers out the window and everything else on the way to church on Sunday morning, ready to go to the house of God and worship. You know how it is? We had a kid going up East Court Street going to New Manor years ago, and daddy was behind them. My daddy and mom, she said that mama turned around like that, pow, hit that kid in the back seat. And I turned around, pow, hit it again like that. And he said that kid had been hit more than Joe Lewis. But you know, then everybody come in the house, woo! This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? It ain't nothing going to happen if we don't prepare our hearts. You know what kind of church we'll have? We're getting ready to move into a brand new building, people. We're getting ready to I mean to tell you, second to none. Our new church is beautiful. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the prettiest churches around here. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to make up our mind, hey, when we go in that new church, I done got a message ready. I'm planning on working on it. We ought to have a new attitude and a new dedication and a new desire. And you know what? Well, just because that building ain't the church. This right here ain't church. You know what that right there is? That's a sign. You know what that is? That's sheetrock. That's something, fake wood. That's some kind of material. This is carpet. That's paneling. That is not the church. The church is him and him and him and her and him. The church is us in here tonight. And we ought to make up our mind tonight that we want to have the very best church we can possibly have. Listen, they may talk about us like we're dogs. There may be a lot of jealousy. There is a lot of jealousy. I mean, there's people right by there and see that sign over there and just get mad as a devil. I'll guarantee you, when we move out of here, that's why I'm told ready to put it on the sign. When we move out of here, there'll be Christians. There'll be Christians who drive by and say, "Glory to God. It went down. I knew it wouldn't make it. They've gone out of it." That'll happen. I guarantee that. Because they're messed up in their heart. And their heart is not right with God. I'm telling you tonight, brother, that can't stop us from having a great church. If every one of us in here will do what we ought to do, there ain't enough devils in Morganton to stop us from having the kind of church God wants us to have. And preparing and studying our heart. But let me say about attendance. We got to be faithful to it in attendance. You know me. I'm a fanatic. I believe you ought to come to church when you feel bad. You might as well feel bad here. If you're able to come, you ought to be faithful. You know what I mean? I've known people, we had it happen last week. We had somebody show up last week and said, "This is the first time I've been here. Where's so-and-so?" I said, "They're not here today." They said, "Well, they've been trying to get me to come. Where are they at?" I said, "They're not here today." I tried to smooth it over and make excuses for them. Listen, some of you folks here out here, don't you use gas being high for an excuse. Somebody will come and get you. Don't you use nothing. If your car tore up, call me. If I can't come, I'll get somebody that can. You make up your mind you're going to be faithful to the house of God. You say, "Well, my husband don't like to go on Sunday night." Leave a sorry thing at home and come on to the house of God anyway. "Yeah, my wife, she don't like Sunday school." Get up and say, "Honey, we're going to church. This is the Lord's day." And be faithful to the house of God. Say amen right there. Lord mercy. And some y'all, please try to start coming on time. I mean, half our congregation comes in 10 minutes after we... Somebody said, "Lord, where's everybody at, preacher?" I said, "Just give them a little bit, they'll be here." I ain't fussing at you, it's better not coming at all. But get on the ball, man. Get in here. Let's get in here on time. When the service starts, be in your place, ready to sing, ready to shout, ready to praise God. Be faithful in our attendance.
Yeah.
If absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people sure do love their church. Amen. Because they ain't been in a coon's age, man. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, I don't know what's going to be. It reminded me what somebody said not long ago. They said, "Why they bring all them bus kids in here?" I said, "Well, one excuse is good of another. They'll go to a dead church that ain't got no bus kids and won't be faithful there either. I guarantee you. You won't be faithful with the bus kids, you won't be faithful without the bus kids." Reminds me of Noah's wife. She got there, had a hole in the ark one time, and Noah's wife looked around and said, "I told you not to bring them woodpeckers in here." That's like that. That's why they fuss about them bus kids. I'm telling you something, brother, this evening, we need to be faithful in our attendance. Amen. When you're tired, this is a place to get rested. When you're sick, this is a place to come and get healed. When you feel good, it's a place to come and rejoice. When you're lonely, it's a place to find a friend. When you're in doubt, it's a place to find the answers. I mean, brother, when you're down and having problems, the house of God is a place to be. This is the place to be. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to be faithful in our attendance. Make up your mind right now. Before we go in the new building, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I know it's getting summertime. I know you fellas that work late in the summer. If you have to work and to pay your bills, I understand that. I ain't stupid. If you're a cop or a policeman or something, your job, I understand that. I'm not stupid. I'm talking about going home and deliberately working late on Wednesday night, laying in front of the TV, not just forsaking the house of God. It ought not to be that way. God's going to require it of us one of these days. Be faithful in attendance. Then we ought to be faithful in giving and taking part in the services. You give a little, you're going to get a little. Amen. Like that fellow went to church one Sunday and he passed the offering plate around. He flipped his usual offering in and all the way home he complained about the service. The preaching wasn't no good. It was too hot. He couldn't hear the singers. The piano player missed a note. And finally, he looked up and he said, "Well, Daddy, it's worth a quarter." That's all he gave.
Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. We need to be faithful. Some people are so stingy, they sing through their nose, keep wearing their false teeth out. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, it's ridiculous. It's a shame, brother. It's a shame. Like that fellow one time, they said that they was taking up an offering to send to Africa to feed the starving people and people without God. And one guy looked on and said, I don't believe in that. And he said, well, here, take some out. It's for the heathen. It's for the heathen. We ought to be giving. We ought to be taking part in the services. Amen. Go to the altar and pray with someone. Ladies, I say again, please don't make me have to beg for somebody to come pray with somebody. I say, oh, ladies, come on, ladies, come on, ladies! And I almost have to get hateful before everybody come pray. And I understand, you think, well, I thought she was, and I thought she was, and she thought I was, and she thought, just take off! Amen? I mean, it don't hurt three or four of them. I've been in some churches, boy, when one woman goes, every woman in the church piles in on them. Looks like Dallas Cowboys tackling them up there. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. Have a burden with somebody. I think it's a shame for a Christian to be at the altar bawling with a burden on their heart for a lost loved ones and all of God's people just sitting there laughing and talking. Somebody share their burden. Somebody say, I care about what you're going through. I'll help you bear your burden. It'll be the other way around one time. You'll want some of these days and you'll want somebody to come pray with you. Get in the choir. You say, I can't sing. Something happened to me this evening. It's the reason I keep choking y'all, and I'm too embarrassed to tell you what it is. But Chris knows. Suck Clorox down my throat. Wasn't exactly Clorox, but it was a lot worse. But anyway, in giving and taking part. Not only that, but in witnessing. In witnessing. Okay, shut up and I'll tell you. You won't listen. Chris had been begging me to open up the swimming pool, and there's about that much water on top of it. And my sweet little innocent nephew, Weston, had knocked the chlorine over in the pool, water that's on top of the pool, and I was trying to siphon it out down the woods and sucked it like this, you know, and a big bunch of it went down my lungs. I honestly thought I was to death. I thought I was going to have to call an ambulance. And still, it's killing me. Feels like my throat's bleached. But I don't know if this is good for it or not, screaming like this on a bleached tonsil. But anyway, that's the closest I ever come to choking death in my life. I thought I could not breathe for 10 minutes. But anyway, witnessing. Now, if that had been you, you'd have stayed home this evening, and you don't even have to preach. Say amen right there. Lord, have mercy and disappoint me. All right, the kind of church you don't want. Here's the kind of church you don't want. Maybe God will anoint me like He did Jack Hiles. Good to be here. We don't want a dead church. That's the way he did. God was all over it. What kind of church you don't want? Here's the kind you don't want. That was real. Here's the kind you don't want. First of all, you don't want a dead church. You better shut up, buddy. Get you down, pour Clorox down your throat. You don't want a dead church. I don't want to go to a dead church. I really don't. I don't want to go to a dead church. I don't understand why people go to dead churches. I know some people go to dead churches because their membership is there and they get a free cemetery plot. I'm telling you, there's got to be more to this than that. There's got to be more to being a Christian than getting a free cemetery plot. If that's the basis of your Christian life, I feel sorry for you. I'd rather not go to church all my life and save up enough money and pay for one. I have to sit there 30 years in a dead mess so I can be buried free. Lord have mercy. I don't want to go to a dead church. Amen. Amen. Brother, I tell you, I went to church when I was little. My mom took me out there at Westcourt years and years ago. I must have been 7 or 8 years old. Boy, I remember people shouting and the preacher getting red in the face, and I felt something. I felt something there. You know why kids are quitting church as soon as they get old enough now? It's so dead and so boring and so dry that would stand up there, and what they're saying is true, but it's just as dry, just as cracker juice, brother. It's pitiful. It's a terrible, terrible mess. Lord, have mercy, people. We need some life in our churches. Amen. We need some life. It's a crying shame that there people go to a rock concert, get just as close as they can get to the front, scream and wave their hands to the God of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And brother, we come in here in the house of God and sit here with our lip pooched out like we're about to die and won't even shake hands. Listen, people, let's liven up a little bit. Amen. Let the Lord have His way. Raise your hands once in a while. Say hallelujah every now and then. Stand up with one and go, whoopee. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want to have a dead church. You say, well, I'll tell you one thing. Some of these big shot visitors come and they get offended at it. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you what, we're going to shout when we get to heaven. They're screaming in hell. This quietest world we're ever going to live in. We might as well just worship the Lord a little bit while we're here. And I don't want to go to a dead church. I don't. I don't want to go to a dead church. I'm telling you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. I mean, I know how y'all are. Some people say, well, I don't believe in all that emotionalism. And you'll watch The Price is Right. No, Bob Dunn finally retired, they said. He'd been on there 85 years. And you know, he'd call out somebody's name. They'd jump up about right here, scream. Ah! Just like that right there. You're sitting at home saying, kill that lucky dog. I'd give anything to be them. Cool. You know what? You don't say, oh my goodness, why can't she control herself? why don't she just calm down, good night, and all she's going to get is some luggage. You know, a trip highway, something like that. I mean, if you gave me a brand new car, I'd shout. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But listen, people, we're sitting here tonight. We're sitting here tonight. Like somebody said, Bill Clinton and Marion, Bill Clinton and Marion, Bill Clinton and Marion, Bill Clinton and Marion. I want to go see him. I want to go. You know what? I mean, that's okay. I think someone went to see him. I wouldn't have seen him if I had time. I don't want to see him. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Somebody else ought to say, Jesus is a shining light. Jesus is a shining light. Jesus is a shining light. Well, I'm telling you, I want to go where the Lord is and where there's some victory and some power and some blessing. I don't want to have a dead church. Amen. You don't want a dead preacher, do you? How would y'all like for me to stand up here and say, it is so wonderful to know. That's why I'm sitting there saying, man, I could read a book while them guys are preaching and not miss nothing. That's the truth. But the love of Christ is in our hearts. What if I did that every Sunday? You talk about thinning out in here. Because y'all pay a price for coming here. You pay a price for coming to this church. You kin folks, people you work with, jealous preachers, they're always saying, you don't go there. You don't go. Every one of y'all catches it. If I had my hand raised, every one of you would say, you ain't going to pay a price for that kind of junk. If I stood up here and I said, and so we see the children of Israel came forth from Egypt's bondage. And the love of God. You're not supposed to punch your finger. The love of God. Like I got the palsy or something. What if I did? You say, Lord, I ain't God if preacher's dead. How do you think I feel when you sit there like this? Yeah. I mean, smile. Lord have mercy. I mean, nod your head. It wouldn't hurt you once in a while. I go, whoop. I mean, are you going to die? I mean, there ain't no... It would. I mean, some of y'all sit there. I say something funny you don't like. I say something sad you don't cry. You're just like, Lord have mercy. What kind of church you want? I don't want to go to a dead church. I don't want just a bunch of emotionalism and junk like that. But brother, we ought to be the happiest, most excited people. Listen, you know who ought to be the most excited people in Burke County? This little group right here. We're getting a new church. We just had 50 souls saved to youth rally last weekend. God's blessing our church. I mean, the Lord's coming back. Attendance is good. The offering's good. God's moving. We ought to be the happiest crowd in Burke County tonight. I don't want to don't want to go to a dead church. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't want to go to an unfriendly church. The Bible said if a man have friends, he must show himself friendly. We don't want to be a bunch of snobs. Amen? I don't want you, people should, you know what people do? I've had, some of y'all ladies know, I've had to ask you, would you mind going back there and speaking to that lady? Here's a new lady comes in, she sits down right here, and 45 people walk right by her and don't even look and stand right here and talk to the friends. Look, who's that? And I don't know. Who is that? I don't know. How do you think that makes her feel? Have you ever went on vacation and went to a church? Don't it make you feel good when somebody walks over and says, hey, I'm so-and-so, we're glad you're here this morning. We're so redneck that we're pretty slack on that. So I'm rebuking you. You're not snobs. You're just country and proud or something that you don't even think to be nice to friend, strange people.
Preach, brother.
People judge a church the first time they come to it by the way people treat them. That's sad. That's not your doctrine. It's not even the preaching or the singing. It's by how. How many times have you heard people say, I just love to go down there. Them people make you feel so welcome. Ain't that true? It's first impression. Lord, if people knew that I had to go around in there and ask people to go speak to them, they'd never come back. Amen? An unfriendly church. But then let's talk about this. I don't want a dead church. I don't want an unfriendly church. I don't want a gossiping church. Amen. Amen. Yep. You do know if the ABC store bought the land right beside ours over at the new church and they opened up an ABC store and a nightclub and it had a strip bar right there and rock music and people getting drunk right beside our church, it wouldn't hurt it one bit. They can't hurt us. If they build an ABC store across the street right there, it cannot hurt this church. Never have. You know what? If anything hurts this church, you know what's going to hurt? Well, people sitting right in here doing this right here. Yak, 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 yak. That's why a lot of people can't get a blessing at church. They've heard so much gossip about everybody else. You can destroy a person by gossiping about them and running your mouth to where nobody ain't got no confidence in them. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. Every one of us tonight, say amen now, every one of us tonight ought to get our tongue on this altar and say, God, help me to keep my mouth shut about my brothers and sisters in Christ. For example, I just say whatever pops in my head, okay? I have nobody in mind when I say this. If you sit there and say he's talking about me, you're listening to the devil, because I ain't. Nobody's told me this. Let's say somebody comes up and says, you know, Brother Derek, I believe he's a good man and everything, but I don't really enjoy his teaching. And then that woman says, you know what? I like Sunday school and everything, and I know we should go, so they're looking for an excuse not to anyway.
Preach.
But I just don't get nothing out of it, and I'm not the only one that feels like that, neither.
Preach on, brother. Preach on.
Poison! Poison! You say, well, Brother Danny, it's true. I know it's true, but that don't mean you're supposed to say it. Listen, if I had Billy Graham up here teaching Sunday school, nobody wouldn't like it. Or if I had Billy, I mean, it don't matter who's doing it. I think he does a fine job for the most part. Not really, I do. He's not perfect. I mean, he could change. So could I. So could I. And you know what you do? Listen, if you feel that way, just keep your mouth shut. You don't have to poison everybody else to get them to agree with you. Say amen right there. Well, I heard this and I heard that and I heard this and I think this and I heard that. Listen, you're spewing forth poison and God puts that sin of gossip right in that. I just preached on that church the other night and the Lord began to deal with me. Brother, we need to learn, keep our mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut about each other. Keep your mouth shut about your pastor. Listen, if anybody in here has got a problem with me, my phone number is 652-8082. If you ain't got enough guts coming after me, keep your big mouth shut. Come on now. You man enough to talk to me? Come on. If you ain't, shut up, you lying hypocrite. Somebody told me, they said, well, Brother Danny, I know it ain't gossip because that's what I said was true. Just because something true don't mean you're supposed to blab it all over creation. Amen? Yeah, I know some stuff about some of y'all. I don't go around saying it. You talk about ruining some people's testimonies.
Yeah.
Boy, do I know loads of junk on all of y'all. The only reason I got any confidence in you is because I know I'm the same way. And I know if your heart's right and you love God. Listen, brother, you can destroy. You know what the Bible said they did in the book of Acts? It said their minds were evil affected about the brother. The devout women stirred up against the apostles and people. That's why J. Frank Norris said the worst enemy the preacher's got is jealous preachers and high society women. It's the worst enemy we got.
Yeah.
Jealous preachers. So I have jealous preachers all over this country that say, one preacher told me the other day, he said, Danny, he said, some one of my men come to me. He said, well, Danny Castle, I can't come preach to this church. He said, I heard something about him. I said, well, tell him, talk to me about it. He's got a problem? Let's talk about it. If you're bringing something that's passing in the blood, you're doing the work of the devil. If you're doing something that's present, then bring it on. Let's get it right. I'm telling you tonight, brother, I don't want to be a part of a gossiping church. Gossip will kill a church quicker than every liquor store, every beer joint, every dirty movie house. It's a lot more dangerous in the house of God. Oh, Jack Wood, he took his pocket knife out one Sunday. He went over here and went like that. He went, start ripping up a sheetrock. He went, oh my God, oh God, I can't believe you did that. And he said, that ain't half as bad as what some of you people do in this church with your tongue. Lady come to preach one time. She said, preacher, pray for me. I'm guilty of gossip. I'm going to put my tongue on the altar. He said, ma'am, we got 35 feet out of here. Just double it. Let it flop on both ends.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something here you ain't going to agree with, but it's truth anyway. I've been pastor a long time. I said this morning, you usually have more women in a church than men because men's so sorry. Any church you ever go to, women outnumber the men. It's like 2/3 women, 1/3 men in most churches because men are so sorry and low down. Okay? So I'm not a sexist. That's true. But when it comes to gossip, women have a harder time keeping their mouth shut than men do. The women ain't going to say amen, and the men's scared to say amen. Ladies, your biggest trouble is keeping your trap shut. You say, well, I know men that gossip too. I do too. That's an exception. The exception don't overthrow the rule. The exception proves the rule. As a general rule, women talk more than men, and you know it, and I know it, and you know I know it, and I know you know I know it. I can prove it any day you want to. We put every woman in there, in this church, in that side of the room, put every man in there, put a tape recorder in that room for an hour, I'll bet you $10,000 if it's all right to bet that there'll be more words spoken in that room. $10,000. Guarantee it. I'm not fussing at you, ladies. I'm just saying, your biggest temptation is to say what you know. And there's 2 or 3 women in every church that believe God's called them to make sure nobody's getting away with nothing. That's one of the smartest things you ever heard anybody say. Don't ever forget what I just told you. There's always some woman, and sometimes it's a man, who thinks and acts like a woman.
Yeah, preacher.
Really? Who feels like it's their job to make sure nobody... I'm going to tell somebody. You better watch that, buddy. You want somebody to tell all your sins?
Yeah.
No. You do? Kevin said, yeah. You don't want nobody to tell your sins. Amen. Here's the difference. Here's the difference in men and women. Well, I've seen this happen 100 times. I've watched over the years. You know, I've been pastoring church 30 years, people. You can't do this 30 years and not learn some things. Women come in and say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Well, and another woman walk in and she'll say, oh, that's pretty. She's so pretty. She's so pretty. I just think she's got the priest hair. Now, there's not a woman in here who thinks that's weird. I really think that's really weird. Every one of you women say, so? Okay, here's what's so. Let's just say me and Kevin sitting here talking, you know, like this, you know. Jason gets up there and I say, he is so cute. He has the prettiest hair. You'd think, God! Brother Danny, get away from me, you perv! wasn't you? There's something different about the way women look at things and the way men look at things. We don't say each other's cute. To me, there ain't no such thing as a cute male. There ain't a queer bone in my body. I ain't never seen a good-looking man. Amen? There ain't no such thing. Lord have mercy. But women, I don't understand that. I can't comprehend how that works. It's just the way it is. So you have to watch yourself, because you'll be sitting there thinking, well, I think this and I think that, and you know what? She's wearing a lot more makeup than she used to, and she's lost weight. Been going to tanning bed. I bet she's having an affair. Well, not in 1 minute. And then she calls up somebody and says, "Would you help me pray about something? I have a burden on my heart for Miss So and So. No, I don't mean to be gossiping. I'm not trying to say anything's going on. Just shut up. Just shut up.
Man.
Just shut up. He who has sharp tongue usually cuts own throat." That's what Confucius say. Amen. Amen. So that fellow one time, some thugs come in and robbed the church one night when they was taking up an offering. And a man came along and said, "Man, you ain't going to believe this. These thugs come into church and they held this at knife point and they sold everybody's rings and watches." He said, "If they didn't get my wife's," said, "she put all her jewelry in her mouth." He said, "Lord, if my mother-in-law had been there, you could have saved the whole thing." I don't want to gossip in church. Only exercise some people get, running down their neighbor, pushing their luck, and jumping to conclusions. Ain't that right? They used to accuse me of everything in the world. Still do, but somebody came to me up there at New Manor one time. They said, "Brother Danny, have you heard the latest?" I said, "No, what is it?" They said, it's going around up at Baxter Laboratory up in North Coast. It's going around at Baxter that you won't let none of the women in this church shave their legs." I said, "What?" They said, "That's what they're saying at Baxter. You made it a law here at our church. No, none of the women can shave their legs." So I was crazy. I didn't care. I just jumped up in the pulpit and said it right in front of the whole church. "Hey, everybody," I said, "I heard it's going around that I won't let none of the women shave their legs." I said, "Let me just clear this up right here tonight." And everybody was laughing. I mean, there was 700 or 800 people there. I said, "I don't care if you do or not. If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. Is that clear? It's between you and your husband and God. Personally, I think it's a little gross, but if it's up to you, have at it if that's where you want it." And that's what I said. I've been in countries where they don't. You've been to Germany? They don't shave their legs. They wear them hose and it mashes them hairs down. It looks awful. I mean, right here, brother. I mean, it looks like I got buckwheat in the headlock. It's awful. It's a shame. But you know what? People say, "I heard this about..." They said that we locked the doors up there and wouldn't let nobody out. And people were sick. And we wouldn't let them know the doctor because I locked them in. We locked them out. We have locked them out. Locked them out one time at youth rally and unlocked doors about 6:30 and about had a stampede. But anyway, I don't want to be a part of a gospel church. Let's make up our mind tonight. We're going to shut up.
Amen.
There's people in here tonight, sitting here right here tonight, that are hurt because of people gossiping about them. Somebody called me one time and said, "Brother Danny, I want to ask you something." Now, if you want to ask me something, I'll ask you something first. First of all, is it any of your business? Amen. If it is, okay, that's fine. Let's talk. If it ain't, keep your own backyard cleaned up. Most of the time, people who make an accusation got a lot of dirty sin in their life. And instead of dealing with their own sin, they're out here finding somebody else's. I got a 24-hour day job keeping this old boy right here straight. I try my best, and he still won't stay straight, but I try. Amen. I don't want to gossip in church. I ain't kidding tonight. I'm telling funny stories, but I'm as serious as I can be tonight. Some of you people need to shut your mouth. Shut up. Just shut up. Before you say something, you think, is this going to hurt that person's reputation or their testimony? Is this going to cause
so-and-so to so-and-so to so-and-so to so-and-so. And buddy, you say, well, I'll tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. That's what they always say. And then she tells that, you can't tell nobody. You promise you won't tell nobody? And then everybody knows it. I ain't stupid. I know that's how it goes. Last thing I'll say, and I'm this. I'm done. Worldly church. I don't want a worldly church. You know me, I don't beat y'all over the head with my convictions. There's enough Bible to keep you straight if you want to live right. I believe people get their heart right, they'll do right. Amen? I honestly believe that. I believe if your heart's really right, that's the best way to make people live right, is preach to them, get their heart right. And I'm telling you this evening, listen, we don't want a worldly church. There ought to be a difference in the way we act, the places we go, the things we do, that people could know that we're Christians. That's why I say once in a while, I don't fuss at you all the time, but that's why I say to you ladies, you ought to at least be respectful of the house of God enough to wear a dress and respect God's house. Amen? There's two or three exceptions. One, you're a bus kid and ain't got no dress. Two, you've just got off work and it's either this, come here, or go home. We have a couple like that. That's okay. I'm talking about you teenage girls wearing blue jeans just because they want to. I mean, and it looked like their brothers and sisters held them right here and they jumped off the house. That's the only way they could get in them. That's what I'm talking about. Say amen right there. I mean, when they had a quarter in their back pocket, you could tell if it's heads or tails.
Yeah.
We'll see how they got in them. Men dressed like a man, look like a man, act like a man. Amen. Look clean, look decent, look like a male, not a female.
Yeah.
Well, not to have a worldly church. Boy, I tell you, when you go in there, a new church, man, we ought to brush our teeth. Amen. I mean, we ought to shine our shoes. Did you know I was studying the book of Ezra this week, and I was listening to some tapes that Dr. Ruckman done on it like 20 years ago. And he's talking about the book of Ezra. They were trying to get the temple built and the walls in Jerusalem, you know, Ezra, Nehemiah, all that stuff. And he said something that stuck in my heart. He said, now you guys are going to get out in the ministry and it's going to be like pulling teeth to get buy some land and build a building and everything. He said, if God gives you a building, that's a victory. Because the devil and this world did not want you to have it. He said, if God gives a church a building to have church in, that's a victory in the army of God. He said, if God gives you a parking lot to park cars on, that's a victory. People, God has given us a victory. The Lord looked down. You know how many churches have started in Burke County in the last 20 years and started about 2 or 3 months or a year or two and fizzled out? God's give us the victory. We have the largest bus ministry in this county and probably several surrounding counties. God has blessed our church tremendously. Let's not be a worldly church.
Lord.
Amen. I mean, there's some things we ought to leave alone.
Yeah.
There's some places we ought not go. There's some things we ought not do. What kind of church do you want? You know what kind of church we're going to have in the next year or two? Just what we want. That's what we'll have. People got a dead church because that's what they want. People got a lively, happy church because that's what they want.
Amen.
Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Come on, Brother Jason.